welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are actually going to go through some previous data. Now, this is all marketing, but because of Fauci lies and because of what you're being caught up in the news cycle, because, you know, sometimes we have to address the news cycle as a part of our marketing. That way, you know, you can hear the constitutional side or the factual side that we've presented. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through that again. But before I do, you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. This is why we actually read the documents. I don't ask you to take my word for it. I need you to become convinced that you have no doubt standing up in front of people that the Constitution was limited and defined and that the ratification debates are legally binding documents to the Constitution. They are appendages, legal appendages of the Constitution. It's that simple. We're going to have a conversation coming up about starting a petition and getting you to start demanding this, that our government stops this invasion and follows the Constitution. It's pretty clear. They don't have much choice. They're supposed to protect us, and the way to protect us is right there identified. Unless they amend the Constitution, then they can do something else. But until they do, this is why we need 13 states and 13 states quickly to get ourselves into moving forward with Republic Review and demanding full compliance. Because if we have 13 states, it shuts the door on any potential convention of states or the federal government trying to amend the Constitution. Even so, if we have 13 states and the federal government says we're discarding the Constitution, these states can easily stand up and say, you can't do that without the permission of 38 states, and we're blocking you right now. And so what we have here, my friends, is the opportunity to, one, create a real forced head, or I should say beachhead, kind of defenses. Now that we've got, once we get a toehold into the enemy's territory, once we have the states, 13 states, that can actually put up this protective barrier from the federal government. That's why getting to 13 as quick as possible it's an important number. But more importantly, we need to get one. We need to get that first state going. That's why we need your focus. That's why I'm asking you to save money to be able to contribute to those campaigns in some of these dark red states to help us get some of these primary challengers into office. Now, I spoke to John Lamb last night. He's a Montana legislator, and he had a primary race in the last election that the other guy spent like $70,000 to his few thousand dollars. What we are doing, and as a matter of fact, what we're trying to help these guys with is educating the electorate, putting the focus on, you know, who is the evil primary candidate, the guy that's getting all of this money from Soros-funded LLCs and these minimum donations and so forth. So what we want to do is we want you to start putting a little bit of money aside. If you can possibly do this, if you are working, if you're not one of the lazy people that are rather to live off the dole than to go back to work, and I really doubt that anybody like that is listening to this show. I know that there are WIFMs in every category, what's in it for me type of people. That's a WIFM. And so I understand that there's plenty of people out there that, you know, will take advantage. You know, why not take advantage of something, you know, free money? There's no such thing as free money. They are mortgaging our future. At least they're trying to, excuse me. They're trying to mortgage our future and saying that they're creating legitimate debt that we have to owe. I want you to understand that, one, even though that may be illegitimate debt, the moral thing to do, the high road to be on, is not to accept it if you can't or don't have to. Anyway, I tell you, you really missed a lot out of Red Pill Expo, and I didn't get the chance to finish. So when we had that meeting, and this is the real reason why I went, and it's going to be the real reason why I go to the next one. We're going to have a rodeo. And if I can speak at the next one, that'll be great. I'll just do a 20-minute pitch. And that's all the time I really need. I think I can plant the seed with everybody that in 20 minutes that they need to get their state legislatures involved, maybe 30 minutes. But what we want to do is we want to get these new exposed people in North Dakota. So I think I was mentioning at the very end of the last episode that we had North Dakota, South Dakota at the table. We've got now Idaho at the table, and we have Montana at the table as well as Wyoming. That's five. I'm almost halfway. We're almost halfway to building within these states to get one state to move there. And once we get one state to move there, why is one state so important? Because now you have a legitimate, let's just say, champion for the Constitution. Whoever stands up, they're basically proving and asserting that they have all the power, that all these things the federal government is doing is unconstitutional. And it takes it more from just this one guy working with all these different organizations that are supporting this to a real legitimate movement, because now it's a government movement. Because now we've got a state government trying to grab these other states by the neck and basically shake them up and say, you've got to get involved in this. We're proven that all of this, prove us wrong. Prove us, go audit and show us how these things are enumerated in the Constitution. And when we get to the Department of Transportation, we will point out that even the Department of Transportation can't be justified by the Commerce Clause. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. No. And I'm telling you, we're on the high ground. We've got this. We really do have this. So as we were talking, we kind of sat down. One of the things that I brought up was the fact, and I may have said this yesterday, but it's really important because it has been brought up by other state legislators in the past. They said, you know, we don't really understand the Constitution as well as you do. We don't want to make a mistake, so we don't want to lose our job. So we're kind of concerned about this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And I go, well, concerned or not, you can't make Section 3 go away, right? So bottom line, it is a tool. It can be a weapon, and it can be our defense. So bottom line, what you can do and what you have the power to do is you have the power to create an office for the legislature that would be your constitutional resource. You have to have the ratification debates there. You have to have these source documents there, and you need somebody to actually, you know, be in charge of that. So you need to find, you know, if it has to be bipartisan, or if you could just put one legislator in charge of the office, you can bring in some subject matter experts. And see, this is where I threw the bone out to the John Birch Society. Because the John Birch Society, I understand why they're scared of Republic Review, because Republic Review basically takes away the relevance. I mean, if we actually get the federal government into full compliance, what's the John Birch Society going to do? Well, there's 50 states. The John Birch Society, you know, exists in 50 states, and they should be able to provide, if they haven't become the controlled opposition, as we have basically kind of deduced, because the way they're acting, they sure seem like they're playing the role of controlled opposition by going after a completely, completely constitutional process. Now, I would love to see Mark Meckler, try to prove that Republic Review is unconstitutional. Because how can he prove that James Madison, the father of the Constitution, the guy with such moral such deeply ingrained morality. That's probably the best way to say it. The guy, when he actually made calls to prayer, he rescinded them when he felt that he crossed the line between advocating for a specific religion, you know, the establishment clause. He didn't want to go there to say, you know, I shouldn't be asking them to pray for this type of thing. But he did have several calls to prayer, but a few of them he actually called back because he felt like that might have been getting close to the establishment clause. So with that, I am just telling you that there's no way Mark Meckler, the John Birch Society, can refute Republic Review and what James Madison and his intent was. Now, here's the thing. We bring in Jefferson into this conversation a lot because we talk about Madison and Jefferson. And that's because everybody looks at Jefferson as, you know, the everything about our Constitution and our nation. And actually, Jefferson did not understand the Constitution that much. He did, but he really wasn't a part of it. Now, whether he had a profound understanding of it, I don't know. But I do know that when he went to France and did the Louisiana Purchase, I can tell you that he thought it was a legitimate process, and it had to be kind of explained to him that they needed to handle this as if it was a treaty, so the Senate kind of just took over, and that's how it was, placed into the legitimacy that they could buy this. The real rub was he had no idea how the government was going to just all of a sudden accept and handle all this territory that voila they have. So what he ended up having to do was he ended up having to get some guidance to figure out how to create an office to manage that type of territory, because they do have a responsibility of doing that. We will be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the other things that we kind of wrapped up, because there's been a huge expression of concern regarding all of the rhinos. And so this is why I started off, and I'm going to be coming to you. We need your help. We need your support. Until they pass these bills that shuts down money coming across, and I call them AOR, areas of responsibility for an election. So in other words, if it's a city election, the area of responsibility is the city limits. where if you live in the city limits, you can vote. If you don't live in the city limits, you can't vote. Well, if the elections are for those in the city limits, the only people should have any voice on influencing that election should be within those city limits. Bottom line, all elections are local to the representation. In other words, only those who are to be represented should have the, you know, and should be the only ones capable of funding and buying into a candidate and or supporting a candidate. We have to stop funding that actually crosses these boundaries, you know, especially like what happened in Georgia with money coming from Hollywood, Soros, and everything else to buy that one little Senate seat. They knew the magnitude of what was going to happen if they did not get control of the Senate. They have barely control. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, Manchin better be worried because there's going to be a lot of money to replace him unless the state actually passes. Every state legislature needs to start passing all elections are local. In other words, if you're not in the state, you can't provide any influence. You can't run ads. You can't, you know, because any type of monetary exertion cannot be spent. And so this is really on the financial side. Personal endorsements without any financial, you know, it's one thing to cover a person's costs, but they cannot make any money on the deal. Does that make sense? In other words, they, you know, paid endorsements, because a lot of times some people get paid for endorsements, and you'll be surprised how many people that are in the corrupt swamp are actually getting paid to do their dirty deeds. Anyway, we have the ability. So we started talking about some of these bills that can help them because they need to get these rhinos challenged. They need to get these rhinos replaced. So we kind of talked about that strategy. And at that point, because we only had an hour, but I'm telling you, it was probably the best and one of the most powerful hours we had because we've now, and, you know, almost every time I have these kinds of meetings, it's almost like this, you know, this impact that you can kind of feel the ground shake a little bit. What was that? And as this grows and as the impact gets larger and larger, that ground is going to shake more and more. And when that ground shakes, when we're finally towards those final impacts, I am going to tell you that the secular progressives are going to do everything they can to stop us because they will lose the most important part. And they're going to go forward without, but that they will fail. Without America, they will fail. And so... And I think that that's one of the reasons why when you look at this, the Second Coming and those types of things, America doesn't even play a role in this attack on Israel and those types of things. There's really no mention of us. So it's not like we just get sucked away. I believe that we pull back and we basically, you know, take a stand against the globalists. And you got to remember, our debt goes to nothing, but now, all of a sudden, we don't have a bunch of money pouring in. We're going to be faced with austerity. But the austerity that we face will be a positive austerity. We have the ability to feed ourselves. We have the chemtrails will end when America takes back its control. You know, that's the other thing. I've got to get these state legislators to start asking the question, why is it that we have all this chemical spraying above our state? Who are these airplanes? Where are these coming from? And what the heck are they spraying? They have a right to know, and they need to start demanding and getting their people to look up. When anybody wants to tell you that those are chemtrails, then all you have to do is show them videos of real chemtrails and how real chemtrails dissipate. Or I should say contrails, real contrails. In other words, the mist or the water that, you know, turns into a white mist as a plane engine goes by. Well, yeah, there are contrails. As a matter of fact, the Blue Angels, when they fly by, you get these contrails because of the water. And they deliberately create contrails by injecting some water you know, to create an effect, because you'll see all of a sudden the contrail will turn red. All of a sudden the contrail will turn blue. And so as you, you know, recognize the fact that they're definitely putting something into those clouds, if the Blue Angels can do it, then why can't the globalists, who have billions and billions of dollars, put, you know, metal particulates in our sky, because they're either trying to kill us or they're trying to do something very specific. And everything that you do when you're doing that type of crap has consequences. And guess who pays the consequences? We are. Those of us that are sucking up these metals, those of us that are getting exposed to that crap that they're putting in the air. It's, and so we can end all of these things. Most all of our problems and our health and everything else will get better. Our morality will get better. I tell preachers all the time, the only way you are going to be able to, you know, have your revival and restore the morality of America is getting the federal government's boots off your throats. Because right now, government is saying you have no right. And until we place government into the context that they have no jurisdiction over that, then they're going to continually oppress. They're going to be doing what Canada's doing soon, where they're going to be going after and shutting down and arresting people. It's coming, my friends. It's coming. So anyway, I'm hoping that as soon as we find out when the next Red Pill Expo is, you will know. But I just want you to understand that you have a responsibility. You are a U.S. citizen. As Madison points out in the resolutions, states have a responsibility to not only get involved, to unite, and to their this obligation of protecting their people, they're duty bound to do so. They have a duty because the oath of office. As a citizen, you have the same duty. You are duty bound to protect our Constitution. This is a birthright duty. As a person that has been born here, that oath of a U.S. citizen is instantly applied to you. You have roles and responsibilities, and some roles that you have, and the responsibilities you have is using the Constitution to petition your government, your local and state government. And you have the ability to use the petitions to call for common law grand juries. You need to get involved in the unorganized militia. The NLA is your landing point. The NLA will help, and they're going to bridge your unorganized militia, because our goal with the NLA is to create a constitutional county. They're going to be using terms like committees of safety and those types of things so that you understand the historical context. But under the Constitution, we should have constitutional counties where the sheriff actually establishes a militia. I'm going to be repeating these types of things just so you understand how important it is. I'm hoping to really grow this show to where, you know, yours truly, this, because this is not about GR. This is all about taking back our Constitution and getting all government into compliance. It's the law. They have to comply. And what they're doing is rebellion against the Constitution. And we don't have to take it. We've got all the tools necessary in the Constitution to actually put, you know, take them out and get rid of them. So with that, what I want to do, since we kind of recapped everything and I've finally got the recap done on Red Pill Expo, one of the things that I did, and it was about almost a year ago, I could go back and check my emails, because I was having a conversation with Sharon of Southern California, and she used to work with her, and she sent me this email that really laid out a series of articles. It's about four pages, but it had a series of articles, and it cites the articles that actually talk about what's happened here, what's happened here, what's happened here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this up, because a year ago we laid out all the information to tell you that this was a developed virus, that this did not come from an animal, that this new term, gain of function, and everything that you're starting to get exposed to, we'd kind of exposed all of this last year. And it was about the same time when everybody was pointing to Wuhan. They knew it came from Wuhan. But we gave you all of the data. Some of these articles are just incredibly powerful. And I don't know why people aren't even bringing some of this stuff up. You know, they're more focused on Fauci and the Fauci emails. And, of course, he lied. Of course. Yeah. So this is the one thing I want to say before I jump into this, the facts here again. When Fauci made a comment, he used hyperbole, but sometimes when an evil person is trying to, you know, get people off of their scent, they will use the most outlandish, what we'll call hyperbole or rhetoric. And so what he did in one of his retorts in an anger outburst, he says, no, China just created this so they wanted to kill their people. Is that what you're saying? China created this to kill a bunch of their people? I am telling you that the reason that they were involved in this is so that they could actually release this into America and use this as a tool, yes, to kill people and to put fear in us. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so yeah, that was kind of a good ending to the segment, right? Yes. If you understand how people, when they get frustrated and they're off message, when they're no longer following the prompter, when they are talking off the cuff, They will typically use hyperbole, especially if they're trying to lie and hide something. Especially Fauci, he has been lying and hiding. When you look at his involvement in this, when you look at the fact that he's been a driver in getting this thing developed, why? Not just to see if they can do it, they want to use it. They need to use it because if you understand what the conditions that have to be set so that they can be successful in enslaving the world, well, fear is the most powerful tool to get people to comply. It's all about compliance for them. And for us, it's all about complying to the Constitution. He has no constitutional authority to do anything he's doing. As a matter of fact, he has been committing to treason. He should be tried. He should be charged for treason. He should be tried, and he should be hung if convicted. And I think that there's more than enough evidence to convict him. And I am telling you that this is how we need to be. We need to go back to holding people fully accountable, that the law is the law. When Fauci starts talking, you can almost bet he is going to be lying. There's very few things that this man has ever provided that was the truth. It's all been either deflecting and or outright lies. And he's been getting, and he's been one of the main contributors in manipulating what and how we are to act. You know, the interesting thing is, how is it that the states were able to just, in almost synchronized swimming fashion, the states just instantly started doing things that they shouldn't have done? Oh, by the way, in speaking with the state legislators of South Dakota, if you're recommending Kristi Noem as a candidate for governor or what have you, or not governor, I'm sorry, for president, vice president, what have you, or a higher level of responsibility, don't. As a matter of fact, she's a huge supporter of the bureaucracy. A huge supporter of the bureaucracy. And the word I got from the good legislators out of South Dakota, she is a big part of the problem. Same thing with the GOP chair. This guy is, well, I can't prove that he's a card-carrying communist. I don't think they said that, but they did say that this guy was an outright hardcore Democrat before he jumped into the Republican Party. And this is what they do. This is how they've converted. They, you know, we allow people to kind of make, you know, oh, well, forgive me, I have sinned, and we forgive them, and we allow them to come in, and you have to let them have the position because we've forgiven them. I believe that a person has to have some kind of street creds before you give them that position. In other words, they have to really do something to prove, you know, how they have actually changed, because don't take them on their word. I ask you not to take me on my word that the Constitution falls under contract law, that the Constitution is a compact, that the states are the only parties to that compact. Don't take my word for it. Go read what Madison says. That's how important this is. But anyway, here's the truth behind the Wuhan virus. And I'm just going to read these bullets. I'm going to put this up on the website, and I'm probably going to put this up on important information so that you have the links and that you have the little text that this, I believe the guy, she sent this to me, and I believe the guy's name was James. And so I'm just kind of read over this just so we can get through this. But if you want to see just how much information is out there that they're not even talking about in the mainstream media, even Fox, I do not like what Fox is doing. These guys seem like they're really nice. Trey Gowdy, Bongino, and all these new people that they've put on. They seem like they're really nice people, but they're still handling the messages in a very specific way. This is not an immigration crisis. This is not a migration. People don't migrate like that. People settle. What is happening, and I will tell you that even though you may have heard commie a la Harris say, do not come to the United States, she is down there helping them better organize so that they can effectively move more people from Guatemala and these other nations into America. That's exactly what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And I'm just at a loss of words that nobody else is recognizing this. She may have done a video message, but I am telling you that video message won't go out. Or that video message, if it does go out, will be quickly what do you call that, spun, or it'll be handled so that the people are being told, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to organize and we're going to be shipping you up there or what have you, because they need a lot more illegal aliens because they know they're not where they need to be. They're going to start seeing these states shifting because of the Biden effect. And so many states, as a matter of fact, one of the things I found out is South Dakota is accepting these illegal aliens. And the fact is, if she's accepting illegal aliens, then Kristi Noem is not supporting the Constitution. She is basically violating her oath of office. And I guess what I need to do is I need to call to see if I can get an interview regarding the acceptance of these immigrants, because I would love to hear her say, "Yeah, we're accepting these future green card holders, these immigrants." Well, they're not immigrants; they're invaders. And so, and point that out, that the fact is you're actually violating your oath of office. And if you didn't know that, you know it now, which means that if you understand Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, you either better make this right real quick, or people are going to say, you're continuing, after knowing that you can't do this, you're now continuing in your bad behavior, and we're just going to unleash the fury of the people, because I'll just bet you anything, the majority of South Dakotans, the majority, and when I say a majority, I'm not talking 51%. I'm talking probably up to the 80 percentile, almost 90% of all South Dakotans do not want illegal aliens, especially when you put it into the context that this is an invasion, that these are not immigrants. These are invaders. There you go. Now, the only way we're going to stop this is if people actually understand that they can't come here. And what we have to do is we have to help educate, not help government. We have to educate the people in how to get the government of their desires. And so the best way to do that is for, you know, these people to start getting educated. And then what's to keep Guatemala from becoming a state in the United States? Well, they can petition and become a territory, a non-benefactor territory. Territories don't become benefactors to where they get welfare. The only thing that they get is they get assistance in educating their people and moving them. So, in other words, Puerto Rico should have became a state a long, long time ago. Should have became a state. Why isn't it? Because it's the welfare that they want. And what's the incentive in becoming a state? States shouldn't get welfare. Territories shouldn't get welfare. There's no enumeration in the Constitution that we have to pay for their economies or anything else. Our support for them is to help them transition with their language, help transition with their finances, their law, and the essential things so that they can function in the United States with the federal courts and with their own state courts using common law and so forth and so on. So anyway, gosh, I'm trying to do this Wuhan thing and I keep on going down these paths here. So anyway, here's the truth. Bill Gates and Barack Obama released a docuseries on Netflix called Pandemic in January, right before the Wuhan virus was discovered. I think that that was to help instill fear, obviously. And there's a Google article that supports this. The docuseries pushed the need for the Gates Foundation to receive funding to carry on virus research to prevent the next pandemic. Are you kidding? They don't care. They want these pandemics. They've been seeking to have these. They've been researching to create a really bad bug to kill a lot of people. Bill Gates funded the Wuhan lab in China that released the Wuhan virus. Bill Gates was a member of China's Academy of Sciences who built the lab, and he was awarded their highest honor. And it's noted right there on the Gates Foundation's Where We Work in the China office. The Wuhan virus was originally developed at the University of Carolina by the NIH, by NIH grants approved by the Obama administration in 2012. This, and there's a Google article. There's all sorts of Google articles that actually go to, actually, this is thescientist.com. It gives you the Google search. And that's why there's, and I think they do that because sometimes they change the links, but the Google links usually still work. But anywho, we will be right back. We're going to fire through this. We want you to actually understand how big this lie is, and that we actually told you all of this, that this was a developed bioweapon, and the United States was the one pushing the bioweapon, and China's happy to kill people. We have too many of them. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so back to, sorry about the delay. I was actually doing something when I came back, so forgive me. Oh, by the way, for those who are wondering, I did start this regime on medicine, so we'll see how it affects me. As you can, I can already tell some of the effects, and hopefully it won't be so noticeable to you, because if so, then we're going to be seeking other people to help with the shows and so forth. But right now it seems to be manageable, so we're happy about that. Anyway, the Wuhan virus was originally developed, like I was saying, in North Carolina, and there's a link to this at The Scientist. The NIH defunded the UNC research in 2016. So the communist Chinese scientists left the UNC, and they took their work to the newly built Wuhan lab in 2017, funded by Gates and pals. The head of the Harvard Chemistry Department, that with ties to Gates Epstein, was arrested for accepting bribes from the communists. And this was also at thescientist.com. The NIH defunded the UNC research in 2016, so the communist Chinese scientists left UNC to take their work to the Wuhan lab. The head of the Harvard Chemistry Department with ties to Epstein. So this is a different ad. This is a different, but it's basically the same thing. And here it is. It's the USJustice.gov, OPA, Harvard University professor, and two Chinese nationals charged three separate China-related crimes. Did Epstein know what was coming? Yes. Did Epstein know what was coming? You want to understand why he was killed? It had nothing to do with pedophilia. If it was pedophilia, they would have really brushed it under the rugs. Epstein knew, and because he was behind bars and was going to be able to actually unleash the knowledge that he had, they already tied him to this. So there's no doubt he was a liability and he had to go away. He was murdered. But the reason why he was murdered had nothing to do with exposing people to the pedophilia. It was exposing people to the coming pandemic, the coming eradication of millions of human beings. The Perrite Institute, funded by Bill Gates, owns the quote-unquote patent on the coronavirus genetic sequencing. The Gates Foundation is where you can find that, how we work, quick links, and so forth. They did simulation testing on a global pandemic in 2018. They were preparing. They needed to do something to unleash this pandemic in time, a year in the year of the election, to actually get people, let's say, quarantined and locked down. And they did this with legislators, and they knew that if they changed, this is how manipulative this plan went and how well it was planned. They got 31 states to change their electoral college so that they could actually cheat in these states to get the outcome for the election that they needed. This is why they had to go to 31 states. This was a huge, huge conspiracy. There were lots of people and lots of players, and many of the players didn't know that these other things that were going on were all associated coming from the same plan. They didn't know. Those who were doing the voting fraud, they didn't know about the pandemic and the development and that type of stuff. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you, if you want to look at history, have they ever done this before? This is something you haven't heard yet. They've done this before. Go look at the swine flu and how they were exposed for manipulating and, you know, basically using the swine flu to unseat Gerald Ford. In the 1976 election, Gerald Ford was unseated, and the swine flu and the hoax and the whole government cover-up was exposed as a government manipulation, and Ford took the bag for it. Even though there were a lot of other underlying issues, this was one of those things to prove that we couldn't trust the government. This goes back to my comment yesterday. You know, these rock and rollers, these social justice artists that want to write and, you know, point to this form of government is the bad form of government. Well, their claim is that they want freedom. They want freedom and they don't want destruction, as I point out. Like John Lennon says, but if you're talking about destruction, you can count me out. Well, that's hypocrisy, because John Lennon wanted to destroy Christ. He wanted to get rid of Christianity. He wanted to get rid of those morals, that baggage, and free us to what they want us to have. How is that freedom? When we no longer can choose to, you know, worship Christ, when we can no longer choose what we think is best, how is that? How is that freedom? It's not. So, anyway, let's move on. So they did this simulation test, and they have a link to that. Bill Gates and Barack Obama's docu-series marketed for the global universal vaccine replaced all other flu vaccines, and they have a link to that at statnews.com. I believe it will be designed to deliver human chip via nanotechnology. Now, this is an insertion. And this is at pubmednCBI.gov. So this is a government site. And they also want to tie a digital identification and vaccine records. Many people believe this is the mark of the beast. And they have the bio, some site.com. Anyway, you're going to get these. I'm going to put these up so that you can actually see these. They identified the 13,000 people in the U.S. died of H1N1 flu from Mexico under Obama in 2009. Many of them children, because he waited 6 months to do anything and never closed the border. Now, they didn't use the, you know, the virus because I don't think they were there yet. I think the gene editing still was not mature enough to be able to get there. But I don't know about these chips. I really don't. I've been told that these chips are there, and I've heard some people that are kind of reliable that they're using these types of things in this technology, in these vaccinations, but I don't know. I don't know if that is actually true, but I do know that they are using gene editing. The things within this vaccination should never be injected into a human being, period. As a matter of fact, government should never even support or even endorse these types of things. A government of the people, for the people, in protecting the people. We don't have that government anymore, friends. What is it going to take to get you involved in getting the government back into the framework of the Constitution so that it once again becomes a government of the people and for the people, period. Moving on, the media said nothing about fatalities in the H1N1, but is creating a huge panic around the 20 deaths of the Wuhan virus at that point in time. And so they've got the CDC flu and the season estimates and everything else. And we already proven since then that the flu has just actually gone away. It seems like coronavirus actually ended the death from flus. It ended the death from cancer. It ended the death of all of these different types of disease. Everybody's dying of corona. And we know that's not true. And so the next one is 18 out of 20 total U.S. deaths from the Wuhan virus have come from a nursing home in Kirkland, Washington, the home area of Bill Gates. Half the staff at the nursing home have been identified with the Wuhan virus. They appear to be carriers. The nursing home draws employees from a large Chinese population across the border in Canada. I believe Gates is placing carriers in vulnerable locations for the native and funding. Now, when I say when I'm reading this, and I'll put this up, that's not me, that's actually James. Right after the first deaths were reported in Bill Gates' home area, the governor declared national emergency and Congress approved of $8 billion, even though Trump asked for only a quarter of that. Now, Trump did ask for trillions later, but there's a link that goes to that. Much of the funding will flow to Gates' global partners. Suddenly, Bill Gates says his foundation will offer in-home testing kits where you swab your nose with a Q-tip and send it to his labs. How convenient. Now, one of the things you need to know is when they put a Q-tip up your nose and you get tested, supposedly, you can also, that is also a way of delivering a vaccination or delivering medication into your nose. So, just so you know, if you're doing these tests, and you have to do these tests, you actually could be self-medicating when you do these things. 19 out of the 21 who tested positive on the Princess cruise ship were crew members. In other words, they got it from somewhere else, possible carriers. Meanwhile, or meaning the crews are carriers and are affecting people, but put them there. So who is it that put these guys there? Now, you got to remember that when you start looking at the history, Wuhan is a huge, it's like a mecca for the Chinese New Year. People go to Wuhan to celebrate the Chinese New Year. And I have no idea what the significance is, but we'll finish going through this. And in our next episode, I'm not sure if you knew, but Terry McCullough, I don't know if you know who this guy is, but I'm going to expose him to you. He's running for governor. He was governor of Virginia before Notham, you know, beat him out or what have you. I think he was hoping that he could do a 2020 presidential election. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.